Representative Stephen Moos has a motion to approve the minutes for February, wherever they are. Fourth. Okay. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The minutes are adopted for February 4th. A couple of announcements, since there seems to be there are people here now, and they may not be at the end of the meeting, so there's going to be a tour of the personal rapid transit prototype in Fridley and a presentation of the Metro Transit hybrid bus, if you haven't seen that. And it's the Transportation Policy Committee and Transportation Finance, Local Government Committee are all invited. Bus will leave promptly at 2:15 from the east side of the building, and that's tomorrow. You need a comment. Okay, the local government committee is handling the details. Representative Housen.
Do we have to be excused from that if we are not attending? Do we need, no, nothing official?
No. Unless you want to talk to Mark Olson and get excused, I'm not sure. There's no meeting of the Transportation Policy Committee tomorrow. And today, because of the very technical nature of our discussion this noon, John Williams has opted to be present at another committee, and we have Mark Shepard from House Research filling in for him. That's a joke, of course. But this is not. At the end of every meeting, I'm tired of cleaning up your pop bottles and cans, so would you please discard them on the way out the door? Thank you. We have four bills today, and the first one is House File 1978, Representative Beard. Welcome to the committee. In case you haven't been welcomed before, we're glad to have you once again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I feel so welcome.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, colleagues, I'd like to, can I move House File 1978 since I'm a member of this august group?
You move that it be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register.
Please, yes. That's exactly what we would like to ask for. This bill makes changes to Minnesota law that allows short-haul truck drivers who report to the same terminal every day to have the flexibility to work up to 16 hours one day a week. Federal regulations provide for this exception, but Minnesota law does not, at least as of this moment. Significant changes to the federal hour of service regulations for truck drivers went into effect on January 4th of this year. Our state, Minnesota, adopts these regulations by reference in Minnesota Statute 2002, Section 221.0314, Section 1, Subdivision 9. There'll be a test on that later, so I hope you took notes. However, our state statutes do not include all the references, so not all of the new provisions were adopted, particularly as they relate to intrastate truckers. To explain this bill a little more detail, a little more clearly, and to stand for questions, I've asked Amber Backus from the Minnesota Trucking Association to come today and explain the gist of the bill. Mr. Chair.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Yes, I am Amber Backus with the Minnesota Trucking Association. As Representative Beard said, the most significant changes to the hours of service regulations that impact how long a truck driver can drive, be on duty, and rest went into effect on January 4th. And while we do adopt these by reference in state statute, they don't line up perfectly, and one provision we don't get to take advantage of unless we do have a legislative change is that the on-duty hours are reduced for truck drivers from 15 hours to 14 hours. At the same time, instead of being allowed to take breaks and extend that 15 hours, it's now a consecutive running clock for those 14 hours so they can be used quickly. This does have an impact on the operations of those less-than-truckload operations operating out of a terminal where the drivers report to that location every day. The feds realized that this would hurt their productivity. So to help offset that loss and help prevent having to hire a lot of new drivers and have new equipment, they said one day a week they could have the flexibility to work up to 16 hours to offset that loss in productivity. So we would like to have this change so that our carriers based here in Minnesota that run within the state can be as competitive as those trucking operations that run interstate and cross state lines. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Do you have any questions, members? No questions. Well, in that case, would you like to renew your motion?
Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to renew my motion and urge passage. Thank you.
All in favor of the motion to move this to the fast list without, with recommendation and to the General Register, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted and you're on your way.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Representative Earhart, welcome to the committee. Would you introduce yourself for the tape and move your bill, please?
This is Representative Earhart, the headquarters. Mr. Chairman, I would like to move House File 1898 that would be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register.
Continue, please.
This is a rather simple bill. Just apparently, the counties were just going to get rid of one level of work here, and that they're asking that the requirements that designate the designation of a natural preservation route on a country state aid highway be reviewed by an advisory committee that thought be repealed because apparently they're just rubber stamping these anyway, and so they just seem not have to go through the paperwork involved. I have some testimony from Carol Leveros, who is with the Association of Minnesota Counties, to start with.
Ms. Lovelo, would you introduce yourself or state your name for the record?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Carol Lovelo, and I'm the Transportation Policy Analyst for the Association of Minnesota Counties. And you heard Representative Earhart express our concerns about trying to lower costs and speed up the delivery of our projects. This Natural Preservation Route Advisory Committee was created to advise MnDOT on the acceptability of requests for natural preservation route designations. The national preservation route process begins when a group or a member of the public makes a request to the county board for a natural preservation route. If after conferring with the county engineer, the county board denies the request, the process ends. If the request is approved, it needs to be brought before a natural preservation route advisory committee. The Commissioner of Transportation needs to appoint 8 members to serve on the committee. The committee members need to be uninvolved in the direct process, so they come from the surrounding counties. And finding members to serve is time-consuming, lots of phone calls, and it's a strictly voluntary committee. Experience has shown that the advisory committee has consistently voted in favor of the designation, because in all likelihood, the same constituency groups are represented on the advisory committee. If a county board votes to request designation, it should be no surprise the advisory committee also votes in favor. Given this past experience, we see little value to this process. It only serves to delay a decision. Since the advisory committee must submit their recommendation to the Commissioner of Transportation for a final decision anyway, and it can only affirm or deny a request, we would propose to eliminate this process and let the county board petition the commissioner directly when and if a request is made and the county board wishes to proceed, since the advisory committee is not an appeal board and has no power to impose a natural preservation route designation that is denied by county board. And I thank you for the opportunity and would try and answer any questions.
Representative Halsman.
Because I don't know the context, I'm assuming when it says the commissioner, they're talking about without commissioner?
Yes.
Is that the reference?
Ms. Lopel.
Mr. Chair, yes, represent, that is the case.
So what is the, because now we don't see any reference to any involvement of the DNR in the process once we take out B. I would even question, since it's scenic or historically or environmentally sensitive, what broader group of people, experts, they might have consulted in the state. But we take any judgment other than the Commissioner of Transportation's out, don't we?
Ms. Lovell.
Yes, that is the case.
And how, so, then, do experts weigh in?
Ms. Lovell.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hausman, one of the advisory committee members is someone from the Department of Natural Resources.
Except we're taking that out.
Right. Well, usually on a route designation, if there's interest in the community, there is usually the 5-year plan, the 10-year plan, when the community reaches out to their constituency. So there's plenty of opportunity for the public or concerned persons to weigh in. Plus, MnDOT provides lots of information to anybody interested in a certain project.
Representative Hall.
And Mr. Chair and Ms. Lovro, I guess, I mean, you're saying there's plenty of time, but is there a process for experts to weigh in? Are we taking away the only process by which experts would be consulted?
Ms. Lovro.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hausman, I guess I would defer to the county engineer, Don Tyson, because he's had direct experience with this process. And he can probably answer your question.
Representative Earhart, I believe you have two more people that would like to testify.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. At least one. Okay.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. My name is Don Tyson. I'm the Washington County Engineer. Maybe to get right to Representative Hausman's question. The way this process was designed originally was it was thought that there'd be some, I don't know if the word right word is controversy, but it didn't seem like it would be just automatic that these committees would decide that these natural preservation routes be recommended. The practical thing is what has happened is that a group of citizens has typically approached county boards and requested that these roads be a road or a set of roads be designated natural preservation routes. The county board then decides whether to forward that request on to the Commissioner of Transportation. If they don't, it doesn't go past the county board level, the issue is dead. If they did, the commissioner would then form this committee. It's been very difficult to get committee members to serve, and it's also a costly process. But the committee has always recommended that the natural preservation route be designated, similar to what the county board is asking the commissioner has done. As far as when the weighing process would happen, that would happen as it has practically now. When county boards are considering it, the local DNR, local citizens, environmental groups would weigh in on that, whether to move ahead with the request or not. So what this legislation was actually originated from the Office of State Aid, because for the past years, there was no value being added to the process by this committee. If the county board wanted the NPR route designated, the committee, just by its makeup alone, always said, yes, it should be designated. There was never any reason not to do that. So as far as an official process, it would be at the local level when a county board would be deciding whether to move ahead with a request for a designation or not.
Representative Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair and Mr. Tyson. Actually, one thing I think that now we're overlooking is the fact that the reasons the natural preservation route is basically for environmental purposes, and generally, not generally, always, it's got a lesser standard than other highways. So it's a road that's designed to lesser standard, and there's a real reluctance generally to do that because of safety reasons and other reasons.
Mr. Thyssen.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that is correct. It's a different set of road standards, and as I said, it usually starts with citizens at that level. So county boards are carefully weighing the decision and getting input from all the different perspectives before deciding whether to pour this on the commissioner. Talking with state aid, typically they see 1 to 2 requests a year for designation of a county stated highway.
Representative Halsman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sometimes I may have a muddled memory, and so help me with this. Am I carrying some anxiety from a previous issue that you had in your county? Has this issue been before us in a different form and that wasn't successful? Are we seeing a different approach, or is this a whole different problem that you're bringing to us this time? Then,
Mr. Thyssen.
Mr. Chair, no, this is the Office of State Aid actually felt this would be good as legislation to streamline the process. There was no value being added. It was just extra time, extra cost. These committees have never, ever taken a position contrary to what a county board's request of the commissioner has been. So it's not related at all to anything in Washington County.
Representative Earhart, did you have anyone else that would like to testify?
Oh, I have a name here. I don't know if Mr. Jonas is here or not. He is.
Mr. Jonas, welcome to the committee. Please state your name and continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Rick Jonas. I'm Deputy State Aid Engineer for MnDOT. And I'm here mainly to answer questions, if there would be any, about this bill. It is true that at a brainstorming session with county engineers last year, probably I personally tossed this out as one of the items of potential streamlining that I saw that they might want to look into, given the fact that our office has had 6 requests for natural preservation routes since the year 2000, and those committees have been difficult to put together. In fact, a couple of the times we put them together, people didn't attend, and we had to delay the start of the meeting and find some impromptu people to get them together. And in every case, these committees have affirmed the action of the county board, who has already decided to lower the standards at the request of the area residents. And it's similar to a variance process almost in that way. So in actual practice, as has been previously testified, it has not really added value to the process, and it has taken time and money, and we have no opposition to this at all. In fact, it would save our office some time.
Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe I could direct this to Ms. Lovrow. How many citizens typically attend a county board deliberation when this item comes up? And is there a typical number that even shows up at the advisory committee?
Ms. Lovrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I would defer. I don't attend the county board meetings, but I know the county engineers do, so I guess I would defer to Don Tyson, and maybe he can help shed some light on that question.
Mr. Tyson, I hope you have the answer.
Mr. Chair, the answer is yes, citizens do show up at the county board meetings. How many show up, it really depends on the specific road that's being discussed. The advisory committee meetings, I've had experience with 2 of them in the past, and we have not had any citizens that are not part of the advisory committee show up for this.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Earhart, I don't see any more questions. Is there a final comment you'd like to say?
Oh, I'd just like to renew my motion if there are any other questions.
Representative Hausman, did you have another question?
To the author, and not that I would make the motion to that extent, but have you consulted with the Environment Committee whether they would
Representative Earhart.
Well, they've been so busy of late on other matters that I expect if they wanted to hear from this bill, they would raise their hand.
Representative Slawick.
And the answer is no.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As a Washington County legislator, are the Washington County commissioners all in favor of this?
Mr. Thiessen?
Representative Slawick, the Washington County Board hasn't discussed this specific legislation.
Follow up, Representative Slawick?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Thiessen, they haven't discussed this at all, but it came from your engineering group, not from the commissioners, obviously, right? Is that what you're saying?
Mr. Thiessen.
Sorry, I came in late.
Ms. Loveral.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the question, this came through a policy process. Our AMC has a transportation policy committee that Commissioner Myra Peterson does sit on. And, in fact, I think this was one of her recommendations at the time that the policy committee support this. But it goes through an extensive process. We have about 60 policy committee members made up of commissioners from all around Minnesota. And this is part of our legislative platform and goals and objectives for this session.
Thank you.
Seeing no further questions, Representative Earhart renews his motion that House File 1898 be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Representative Earhart.
Thank you.
Thank you.